There are many others that praised Abu Hanifa in this sense, but it is enough to mention this. We'll now move to some of the traits of character of this great Imam. Part of knowing our Imams is to know not only their lives, who were their teachers were, and their students, but also their shama'il, their character and their way of life. Now Imam Abu Hanifa was known for his wara' and his generosity. He was extremely scrupulous. He had wara', fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the smallest things, even to a fault, yani sometimes to extremes that would not occur to the mind of normal people. But then he would see so far that he would say, for example, if you lend money to someone, then don't sit in the shadow of their wall, because that would be usury, that would be a form of riba on your part, as if you are expecting an advantage from the fact that you lent them money. So of course, you know, don't have dinner in their house, don't accept a gift from them, because when they see you, they might feel obliged that they have to be extra nice to you and give you extra thanks and etc. etc. Run away from that. That's what Imam Abu Hanifa taught, saying, you know, that would be a form of riba, even to the point of not sitting in the shadow of their wall, of their garden wall. And that is a mark of wara. And he was a person of generosity, sakhi. He would sit on his rug in his mosque and teach from morning to night, and the students would come and the people would come, and those who needed something he would give them. He would lift like that his prayer rug, and he would take some coins that he had there, or some gold or something, and he would give those who didn't have. And he would give this, his students, and support his students that way, like Abu Yusuf, for example. Abu Yusuf, he said, I was poor. And my father died, and I worked in the bleachers, like a dry cleaner's or a bleacher's shop. And that's what where my mother put me. So I would leave that bleacher's shop, and I would go and see the students of fiqh near Abu Hanifa, and I wanted to hear, and I was fascinated, you know, I was interested to hear, and I would come and sit and I would listen. And Abu Hanifa would encourage Abu Yusuf, and then he would go back to work, but his mother was not happy with that, because his mother thought he was wasting his time. Go and work and make some money, and we need to live, we need to survive. What are you doing there, sitting and writing and studying? You're not going to earn a living that way. So she criticized Abu Hanifa. And then Abu Hanifa one day said, you know, he will eat pistachio dishes of quails with pistachio in dishes of turquoise. That boy of yours, in other words, is going to sit at the table of princes one day, thanks to this knowledge. Oh, so she would say, oh, that is an old sheikh, he's just saying that. And then one day, Abu Yusuf, as he grew old, after Abu Hanifa died, Abu Yusuf, you know, he became the qadi. And not just any qadi, the head qadi of the caliphate. The first qadi for the caliph. And Harun al-Rashid, it is said one day that he had Abu Yusuf at his table one time. And they brought that dish of the quail with pistachio in a turquoise dish. And Abu Yusuf saw that and he smiled. And the caliph asked him, why are you smiling, Ya Qadi? And he said, I remember that story of Abu Hanifa, that one day I would reach that point. And that is a mark of the firasa of Abu Hanifa. He was known also for his firasa, his foresight. Yani not foresight, yani, but almost... But actually karama, that he would say to someone, that is a person who will reach such a high level that will happen to them. And he was right about it. And that firasa is the mark of the mu'min. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ittaqu firasat al-mu'min, beware of the foresight of the believer. فإنه يرى بنور الله, because he sees with the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is why when we go to visit the awliya, we have to be careful what state we are in. We have to try to be on our best behavior, yani mentally, spiritually, not to have bad thoughts in ourselves, but to keep good thoughts and good adab. Good adab, not just outwardly, but also inwardly. To practice that hadith, اتقوا فراسة المؤمن. Beware of the sight and the foresight of the believer, for he sees with the light of Allah. So the awliya, almost, يعني, they cannot help it. That's how they are. So we should respect that, we should know that, and keep our best foot forward. And there are many stories like that. One time, Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan, radiallahu anhu, some people were coming to visit him. And one of them, on his way to see Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan, looked at a strange woman passing. That he thought, oh, she is very beautiful. And his eye followed him as far as he could until she disappeared from his sight. He did not have any, he did not control himself at all. And then he went and he saw Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan. Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan took one look at him and then he said, you know, the eye makes zina also. The eye makes adultery also. So be careful. So they said to him, Subhanallah, wahi after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is there such a thing as wahi after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Yani, from where you know that? How you say that? From revelation? And so he said, no, but firasa. Firasa. Yani, here we wouldn't say foresight, we would say insight. Insight, yani spiritual insight. So this is how the awliya are. This is why we hear so many stories of the awliya. You go to their, you go to see them. You want to ask them about your problems, your life, your you know, big question, and they know it already. Before you open your mouth, they might say to you, "Your answer is that. Do that." So Allahu Akbar. How? This is, as we read, it said, "Ittaqu firasat al-mu'min." فَإِنَّهُ يَرَى بِنُورِ اللَّهِ. So may Allah give us that gift to be with people like that, to be helped by them, to visit them, to love them, because then when we love them, we get all kinds of good gifts from them. And Imam Abu Hanifa was one such wali, and we said that he was also generous. He helped the people around him, and he was wariya, and he was zahid. He did with little. And you could see this in his schedule that he kept. From morning to evening, in the mosque, teaching, not interrupting himself except for salah, refusing to have anything to do with judgeship. They wanted him to be qadi. No, he didn't want to do that. And then fasting in the daytime, his slave woman, his servant woman, she said, I never saw him eat in the daytime. Never. He was fasting every day. And then at night, standing in salat and making tartil of Quran al-Kareem, so much so that his neighbors would say, Ya Rabbi, have pity on him, give him a break, let him rest, let him feel more relaxed and not kill himself. They were worried about him so much that they would make tarahum on Abu Hanifa from hearing him pray and recite Quran all night long, night after night. And so, much so that they called him also, his nickname was Al-Watad, the pillar. How is the pillar in a mosque? Does it ever change its place? Until it's broken down completely through an earthquake or demolition, it never changes. It's always there, day and night. That's how Imam Abu Hanifa radiallahu anhu was in Salah, Watad. So one of the visitors to Al-Kufa came, and he saw that with his eye, first day, teaching. Morning to night, and then he followed him, and he stayed nearby, and he saw, you know, that he heard salah, 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 like that, very little rest. Oh, mashallah, very interesting. Second day, oh, mashallah. Third day, so this is extraordinary. Fourth day, fifth day, then that man said, I realized it was wilaya, that such a man. To live like that, day in and day out, to be able to sustain that rhythm like that, and for him it was that was his nature, his second nature, then the one who witnessed that, he said, Allah, mashallah, that is wilayah.